Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It's a Target Demo Friday, everybody. So, I want to hear what you're up to as you listen to the show. I've tweeted out the meme of Baby Ben McAdoo, Baby Beacon of Light, honoring the dismissal of one of the worst football coaches in recent memory in the NFL. So check that out on Twitter, DA on CBS, and respond to that. And let me know what you're up to this weekend, what you're up to today as you listen to the show. And then let me know where you're at and how you're listening, and I'll read them for Target Demo Friday. Also, posted the meme on our Facebook page, so you can respond there as well. When you go there, like the show page. That way we'll get your timeline popping.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
It's facebook.com/TheDA Show. Let me know what you're up to on a Target Demo Friday. I'll read them coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. Chad Brown's going to join us, NFL analyst, longtime NFL linebacker in the NFL. Played in a different era. I want to ask him about all the conversations this week around the violence in the game, suspensions, and how it should be policed. That's coming your way 20 minutes past the hour. Plus, stay right there right now because of the 12 DAs of Christmas. Number 12 comes your way in just a couple of minutes. The Browns have a new general manager. John Dorsey takes over the reins from Sashi Brown. Dorsey previously was the GM in Kansas City. It's obvious it is a risk to take the Browns' job. It is where coaches and GMs have gone to die. Mike Holmgren used it as his retirement slip. Mike Pettine, whatever happened to him? Chud, whatever happened to Rob Chudzinski? Hugh Jackson, if he gets the zig as head coach, he'll never get a head coaching job in the NFL again. You go there, it's where you go to die. You can ruin your reputation forever. Now, I don't know, maybe John Dorsey felt like this was his last chance as GM in the NFL. But let me say this. That Browns job is actually not a bad job. It's a bad job because there's not a lot of talent on the roster. You don't have a franchise quarterback yet again. And Jimmy Haslam is your owner, and this guy doesn't know anything about running a football franchise. But it's not a bad job in terms of how you can build the team. You realize that John Dorsey takes over this situation. They drafted Myles Garrett number one overall last year, and I think Myles Garrett's going to be a very good player in the NFL for a very long time. You might have a few pieces here or there that you drafted over the last couple of years that might make a difference. But you take over a situation where you will have two top 10 picks in the draft this year and three more in the second round. Right now, remember, because they traded out of the Deshaun Watson slot last season with the Houston Texans, the Browns will end up with the number one pick in the draft. They will go 0-16. Then they will have the Texans pick, who's right now number 7. 1-7 right now in the NFL draft in 2018. You'd be able to get probably Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield You'd be able to get Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. You'd be able to get Lamar Jackson and Sam Darnold. You get 1-7. Then you get the first pick of the second round, number 33. The seventh pick of the second round, number 39, number 40. And then the Eagles pick, which will be down near the bottom of the second round. So essentially what you're looking at right now is 1-7, 33, 40, and 60, let's say. You got the five of the first 60 picks of the draft and four in the first 40. You can get really good talent right away. So what Sashi Brown didn't do was draft particularly well. What he didn't do was find a franchise quarterback. What he didn't do was build a roster that can win football games right now. But what he did do is he set up the next GM to have a haul this upcoming April. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. As for last night's game, Saints and Falcons. I don't know what's happening with Matt Ryan right now. I don't know. Matt Ryan has not been himself. I honestly think there's PTSD after the Super Bowl. I really do. He's playing with none of the confidence that he did last year. None. Now, some of that I think is the play calling. Then Kyle Shanahan was aggressive. Shanahan had a really good vibe with Matt Ryan. They had built that trust and built that chemistry. I think Kyle Shanahan was also just flat out a better play caller than Sark. Steve Sarkisian's offense has seemingly ignored throwing to their backs out of the backfield, which seems crazy since Freeman and Coleman were such a huge part of the offense last year. But it doesn't seem to make much sense to me that Matt Ryan could go from an NFL MVP last year to throwing three picks yesterday and largely looking like he's closing his eyes and just throwing it up towards Julio Jones. That interception in the end zone is a mistake that DeShone Kizer makes, that baby Brock Osweiler makes, that, dare I say, Brandon Whedon makes.
Brandon Whedon's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed, he's a bum.
Chucking it up when Julio Jones is covered with the defender in front and underthrowing it while under duress and another safety coming over the top is inexcusable in a game like this last night. Three interceptions, inexcusable. I can't trust the Falcons right now. I know they won last night. I can't trust them. Because last year they had an elite offense supplemented by a great, quick, fun, young defense. But it's not a great defense. It's still not a great defense. Got great athletes on it. It's not a great defense yet. They need Matt Ryan to play like last year to have a chance of getting through a gauntlet, which is the NFC. The NFC is going to be brutal in the playoffs. It's going to be the greatest. We got six teams getting into the NFL, NFC postseason that could all get to a Super Bowl. And I think any of the six could beat the Patriots or the Steelers in a Super Bowl. But the Falcons aren't one of those six to me. I know the Saints lost last night. You know, the Saints offense didn't play particularly well either. The Saints lost Kamara in the game, although he's going to be back, it sounds like, for next week. They get the long week. Drew Brees was fine, but on that final drive, a terrible interception in the end zone. Awful. Very unlike Drew Brees to make that decision there. But I believe in the Saints. Despite last night what happened, I believe the Saints can get to a Super Bowl. I don't believe the Falcons can. And I don't know what is happening with Matt Ryan. It's time for the 12 DAs of Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
From what I heard, it was a little bit more of spitting that happened.
Mraz, you spit on somebody?
Roberto Alomar, all right? It's in my past. This is unacceptable that we have unaccounted for staff members due to a little nor'easter. I can't have it.
Do you still feel a couple years later that way?
I'm not so interested in.
He ate something that comes out of the dog's wrong side.
It was a long morning for me.
The time is now. The place is here. And the whole wide world is filled with cheer.
On June the 27th, on a Trash Tuesday, I trashed dog pictures on social media. And boy, it started a firestorm.
Number 12.
I can't take the dog Twitter. I can't take the baby Twitter. I'm sorry, Mraz. I can't do it.
Epic trash job.
You are heartless, gutless, and soulless. And I'm going to just tell you this right now because you're not thinking big picture here. A dog is man's best friend. That saying exists for a reason. A dog is now a part of your family. But unlike us humans that can live to 60, 70, 80, 90, these dogs have 10 years lifespan. If you're lucky, 15 years, in some cases 17 years. You better soak up every opportunity to have a picture with those dogs because guess what? When they're dead and they're thrown in that incinerator at the animal hospital, all you're going to have is those pictures to scroll through on your phone of them eating a snack, of them eating on the beach, and you're going to cry and reminisce and remember. That's how you remember your dog in those happy moments, whether they realize they're taking those pictures or not. If you only have one or maybe two pictures of those dogs, guess what? You didn't enjoy their life. So I'm sorry that you're not Mr. Dog Person. I'm sorry that you have no freaking heart. But how dare you go after people that like dogs that much? Your girlfriend has dash hounds that climb ramps like they're Tony Hawk. And you're going to bash her for taking pictures? That ain't right, man.
You think I like them?
Yeah, but you should. Because they're beautiful little pinching hounds. You have no heart, man. It's just too much.
It's too much. People are so self-involved, they think we care about them with their dogs every day.
Where I have a problem is when your kid turns 8 and I need a picture of every Little League swing they take, okay?
Oh,
then it's
whoa,
a bit much.
Whoa,
well,
whoa.
I would
You're
say...
You're talking directly to me right now.
I mean, you have crushed Schwartz before. You have crushed Schwartz that everywhere they go, every Happy Meal they eat, every block that this kid throws in fourth grade football, you've got to see on social media. This is the same thing. Why do we have to share everything?
Because dogs live shorter than kids.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay, so Bradley Schwartz you're sick of, but because your dog's only going to last 15 years, we got to see everything
Yes, because I'll get pictures of Bradley Schwartz at his 40th birthday party. Dogs ain't living a 40. You have to cherish those moments with the dogs. You have to. I'm sorry.
I get cherishing the moment. I don't understand why people have to share the cherish.
Because that's the only way that photos exist anymore. It's out there on the cloud.
That's not true. Well, you can't take 20 pictures and then download them to your laptop. That's not a thing.
And what if your laptop gets snapped in half?
Put it in a cloud, saying.
The cloud exists easier on Facebook. It's all about being easy and convenient. The easy way and convenient way is just to upload. You're going to have your Instagram and Facebook forever. Leave them up there.
So this is about your convenience, not about doing what's right.
Yes. And if 58 people didn't like a picture of Jay on the beach, you know, licking his behind, then maybe I wouldn't put them up as much either.
And that's another thing. Is that dog Twitter feeds dog Twitter. And mm-hmm. that dog Twitter people keep liking all these dog Twitter things.
It's a dog-eat-dog world.
I can't imagine.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Why are we just consumed by taking pictures of these animals every single day? Number 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas from June the 27th. And then you guys quickly brought the noise, pounded me into submission with adorable dog pictures of all of these wide-eyed, beautiful little puppies. And I quickly had to back off my take. When we come back here on the show, Chad Brown, a longtime NFL veteran linebacker, Pro Bowler. We'll talk to him about playing in the quote-unquote old days and what the NFL can do and what he makes of the loud noises coming out of the NFL this week about safety concerns and suspensions and punishments around it. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
The DA show is highly intellectual. We're all the way from no IQ to the high IQ. We are cutting edge on this show. Cutting edge.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sometimes.
Itchy nipple chub rub.
Sometimes.
She's a bad girl, David.
Sometimes.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Sometimes.
Even if you're fat.
Sometimes.
Puffiness with sodium.
Sometimes.
You better take your raincoat.
Welcome back, DA with you. It's a Target Demo Friday, so let me know what you're up to as you listen to the show. There's two ways to get a hold of me right now, and I'll read them on air coming up in about 20 minutes. What you're up to as you listen, where you're at, what plans you got for the weekend. Target Demo Friday, we want to know what our target demographic is. And so let's hear from our target demographic. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. If you don't have Twitter, go to Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. The thread is going on as we speak. Joining us here on the show is one of our favorite NFL analysts. He played in the NFL for more than a decade. He was a three-time Pro Bowler and a two-time All-Pro. Went to the Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Was a member of the Seattle Seahawks 35th anniversary team. NFL analyst Chad Brown joining us this morning here on the show. Chad, good morning.
Good morning, DA. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. It's always a good morning when we get to catch up with you. And, you know, you played in a different era than we play in now. Played in the 90s. That was real rough and tumble. 2000s as well. Different than it is 10 years later. When you see what happened on Monday night and you see the suspensions handed down, how do you feel having played in a different era of the NFL?
I love football, and I want football to continue to exist. And now that we know what we know about head injuries and concussions and the long-term effects, and we've, you know, interviewed guys who are suffering from their time in the NFL, there's visual evidence. I think you have to take steps to make the game safer. And I understand there's a certain old school mentality that is hard to shake for some current players and for some former players and want to see the game played like it once was. I just want to see football continue. And 20 years from now, 25 years from now, I love for there to be football. And the moms of America and the dads of America who saw the Monday night game with Ryan Shazier going down and then the two ugly helmet-to-helmet hits, that doesn't help the case for football 20 years from now. So things we can do to make the game safer, punishing players by suspension, I think is necessary to, again, have football in 25 years.
That was a particularly violent game to the point where a lot of people just winced watching it. Did you ever play in a game that you said, oh, my God, it's one thing to be violent. This is more violent than your normal football game that I've been playing in.
You know, I've taken place in some of those Steeler-Ravens rivalry games, and that's about as physical of a football game as you could ever possibly imagine. Now, when you're on the field and as a player you put that helmet on, you know, I've always kind of had a little bit of a Superman mentality that, you know, unless you got some kryptonite in your pocket, nothing can hurt me. But after the game in the locker room and you see the long line for ice bags in the training room, or it's a home game, you're seeing guys lined up for x-rays and MRIs, you know, it gives it, your perspective shifts a little bit and you go, what are we doing? This is crazy, man.
Chad Brown joins us here on the show. So Mike Mitchell, the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of your old teams, was very critical of how the NFL has handed things down to the defensive players, saying, I don't know what to hit anymore. We've got to do a better job in the CBA. Right now, a quarterback can overthrow his receiver, and I'm the one getting suspended or fined about it. Does Mike Mitchell have a point there?
He does have a point. Now, unfortunately, his point was wrapped into a rant, you know, that seems to have taken a form about, you know, the game is soft. I think it's going to be impossible for football ever to be soft, but I certainly understand his complaints. As a pass rusher, there was a time where it became difficult to figure out where to hit the quarterback. You know, I was always trained to go up high on the quarterback to try to, you know, dislodge the football. Therefore, you know, helmet-to-helmet contact or a forearm or a hand to the helmet, you know, often happened. After you get fined over $100,000 for that, you start changing your target point and you begin to change your behavior. Even though I was trained from a young player until the time I got in the NFL to go up high on the quarterback, eventually I learned to change my target area. Those safeties and defensive backs, I know they have a very difficult job. When is this guy defenseless? When is he a runner? You know, how do I put my shoulder in this perfect place, never put my helmet on him, as this receiver is twisting, turning, trying to catch the ball, in some case, ducking to avoid contact? I've got to find a way to hit him in a safe spot and all that. So the defensive backs now have the toughest job in football, which was used to be, I think, the pass rushers trying to hit the quarterback. Now it's the defensive backs, and he's got to find points. But I think my overall point is bigger and more important. Again, we've got to find ways to coach the game, make rules for the game, and legislate the game that allows us to have football in 20, 25 years. Because if we don't, mom is never going to let little Timmy play, or dad's not going to let little Peter play, because they see what happens on Monday nights. So you've got to find a way to bend these rules and get these players to understand them and play within them for us to have a game.
As an extension of that conversation, what Gronk did is not exactly what little Timmy should be suffering either or doing to little Peter, and that is throwing his shoulder and body weight into a guy that's on the ground not looking at him after the play. Did you think that Gronk should be suspended more than one game?
Absolutely. I think there needs to be a clear line between something that happens in the course of a football play versus something that has nothing to do with football. You know, of course, Gronk happened on the football field, and he was retaliating for some things that happened on the football field. But that was after the play. It had nothing to do with the scope of a football play. So you hit a quarterback too low because you were being pushed in the back. That's in the scope of a football play. You're a safety coming up to hit a receiver across the middle, and he ducks and brings his head down to now where your helmet or shoulder is. That's in the course of a football play. The crap that Gronk pulled, the crap that Aqib Talib and Crabtree got into a couple of weeks ago, that has nothing to do with a football play. I think that should be fined, and the suspensions as far as games should be at a much higher level than anything that occurs during a football play.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you as we talked to Chad Brown, former Pro Bowl linebacker in the NFL for more than a decade. And I was looking at the physical toll that the Pittsburgh Steelers not only enacted and exacted on the Cincinnati Bengals, but also took on themselves. And obviously losing Ryan Shazier, I mean, your heart just drops. But also just the pounding that you take playing in the AFC North. You played in some rough and tumble divisions as well. And you've also played for the New England Patriots, where they've kind of waltzed through their division year after year. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers at a competitive disadvantage when they get to January because they've had brutal games against the Bengals, again, two against the Bengals, two against the Ravens, versus a Patriots team that might be fresher, or are they more battle-tested?
I think it depends on just kind of the flip of the coin as far as the health of that particular Pittsburgh Steelers team. There's been some years where, you know, we've been incredibly lucky and been healthy heading into the playoffs, and therefore they were just simply tougher and more, to your point, battle-tested than the teams they faced. There's other times where that the attrition of that AFC North takes its toll, and you begin to lose players, you begin to lose depth. So by the time you get in the playoffs, maybe you've got some guys who are fresh enough to compete, but now you're also out there with backups who just aren't to the same level. So I know the physical nature of play is something that Mike Tomlin enjoys. That's part of the Pittsburgh Steelers identity. But I think it's a double-edged sword. And sometimes it cuts for you, and sometimes it cuts against you. But I think it would be impossible to separate that style of play, that mindset going into a football season and how they prepare and how they want to be a football team from the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're always going to be a physical team. And when you play in that division, I think in order to beat the Ravens and win that division, you've got to be the more physical team.
Mm. Before I let you go, you've done a lot of work for college football analysts as well, for college football analysis. I always love picking your brain on this. You followed the Pac-12 very closely. There was an argument to be made, I think, going into the college football playoff that Ohio State deserved in over Alabama because Ohio State won its conference. But there were Pac-12 people saying, well, hey, USC won its conference as well, only had two losses as well, and didn't suffer the indignity of losing by 31 points against a team like Iowa. Do you think there was a case to be made for USC getting into the Final Four?
I do work for the Pac-12 Network. I called a number of games with them. I called a USC game this year. But I've also called a game for Alabama and for Michigan and Wisconsin and Oklahoma State, Penn State. I've so called a number of those teams that were, you know, in that top 10 all year long. And just from my eyes, from what I saw on the field, Alabama was clearly a better team than USC, a better team than Ohio State. I understand that the folks at the Pac-12 wanting their team to be in there. But I think USC was a little too up and down, particularly against some not very good opponents. I happen to call the game against Oregon State when Sam Donald had two fumbles and two interceptions, and it was an up and down game for them, versus a team for Alabama that lost one game in a rivalry game on the road against a team that was in the top three or four at the time. So I think the more deserving team went in, but I think it also speaks to, you know, the need for perhaps expanding the playoffs and having an automatic entry for the conference winners.
Mm. Chad Brown, a former Pro Bowl linebacker for the Steelers, the Seahawks, played a long time in the NFL, also a Colorado Buffalo great. And, hey, man, I always love our conversations, but I want to say congratulations, member of the 2017 CU Athletics Hall of Fame. That is so cool, man. Congrats.
Well, thank you very much. It's a real honor to go in with a lot of players. I, you know, went to University of Colorado and saw their pictures and photos on the wall, and now I get to be in that same place with them. It's a very, very special thing. I'm quite proud of it, and also humbled by the honor. For a kid who showed up at 207 pounds to play linebacker in the old school Big Eight, I'm surprised I survived long enough to even get the honor.
Really cool, man. Well deserved. Well deserved. Follow Chad on Twitter at ChadBrown94. Man, I always love our conversations. Thanks so much for picking up the phone for us a couple of times this year in 2017. Hopefully we'll do it again in 2018, buddy. Thanks so much.
Sounds good. Thanks, DA. Appreciate it.
You got it. Chad Brown joining us here on the DA Show. I love the thoughtful nature of Chad Brown's answers every time we have him on talking football. He's just one of my favorite NFL analysts to have here on the show. Good stuff, as always, and props to him for getting into the Colorado Athletics Hall of Fame. It's cool. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. Now, remember, it's a Target Demo Friday, so I want to hear from you guys what you got going on this morning as you listen to the show, where you're at, what you got this weekend going on as well. So hit me up on Twitter with that, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show, because I'll be reading them when we come back. So get them in now, Target Demo Friday, DA on CBS. If you're on Twitter or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show. I also want to tackle what I think is a really underrated trade in yesterday's NBA. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
What's DA Show called?
The DA Show.
Just the DA Show. Damon Amendola. Justin.
Amendolara. Damon Amendolara, not Amendola.
Amendolara.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Amendolara.
But don't worry, DA works just fine. Welcome back. 41 minutes past the hour. Get in your late Target Demo Fridays right now by hitting us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show. I want to know what you're up to as you listen to the show, where you're at, and your plans for the weekend. That's DA on CBS or on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDA Show. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Sign up to be an O'Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O'Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Dan tweets, DA, what are your thoughts on the Nets trade for Jahlil Okafor? Will he ever live up to his star potential now that he's off the 76ers and now in Brooklyn? I think this is a highly underrated trade for the Brooklyn Nets. Jahlil Okafor was relegated to the bench. He was persona non grata in Philadelphia, and he wasn't getting any playing time. Okafor is not going to suddenly become a superstar in Brooklyn because he's getting playing time. The Sixers would have gladly taken a star. But there was some redundancy with Joel Embiid, how he played, where he played, and blocking in some ways what you could do with Okafor. Now, I think Jahlil Okafor probably has some emotional issues or maturity issues. Seems like he wasn't always completely engaged in the quote-unquote process in Philadelphia. But I think that the Nets gave up nothing to pry away a guy that was a top three draft pick 3 years ago. And on top of it, the Sixers gave not only Jahlil Okafor, but Nick Stauskas and a second round pick just to unload Okafor, who's still in his rookie contract. So it's not even like Brooklyn's inheriting some awful deal. It seems odd to me that Brooklyn gets a former top three pick in the draft, who's young on his rookie contract, Nick Stauskas, and a second round pick, and all they had to give up was Trevor Booker, who's averaging 10 points a game this year and is already 7 years into the league. You're not buying on some type of upside stock. I think the Brooklyn Nets got a huge steal. Okafor might never end up being a superstar. I don't think he will. But he's got the talent that was a top three pick in the draft. And this isn't because of injuries that you can't trust him. It's because he was in a spot that they didn't like him and he didn't like being there. To think about what Sean Marks has done with no talent on his roster and no first-round picks, having been heisted by Danny Ainge of the Boston Celtics, to where you are now, that first-round pick by the Cavaliers from the Nets doesn't look good at all right now. I mean, the Nets, do you realize the Nets last night won their 10th game of the season? They didn't get to 10 wins last season until March. They just got 10 wins, and we're not even midway through December. They're going to end up being a slightly sub-500 team of the East, but they're not going to be the number one pick in the draft. But they might be somewhere like around 13 or 14. They're going to be midway through the first round. That pick that the Cavaliers got was the Celtics pick, obviously, but I think Danny Ainge knew that wasn't going to be all that valuable of a pick, because Brooklyn was quickly building something where at least they're going to be competitive. And they are competitive. They're floating around 500. D'Angelo Russell hasn't even played. So Brooklyn, who had nothing, I mean a ghost town, no picks, no players, no assets, no buzz, hired a coach in Kenny Atkinson that players really like, run an offense that players really like, had cap space so they could take on the Damari Carrolls of the world and the Timofey Mozgovs of the world. And they traded for two top three picks in recent drafts in D'Angelo Russell and Jahlil Okafor. And they gave up Trevor Booker last night? I mean, Sean Marks, from the Spurs, has that pop blood, that R.C. Buford blood. Man, the Nets got a steal with Sean Marks. I thought it was a great deal for him yesterday. And Booker's fine. He'll do the dirty work for the Sixers, and they don't need Okafor because they have Joel Embiid, but Embiid's got to stay healthy. And you had to give up Stauskas as well and a second-round pick. I just thought it was a great deal for the Nets. All right, let's bring you your Target Demo Friday.
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
Mike tweets, I'm eating lunch in my truck so I can listen to you guys this week, and I can't wait to hear how hitting hard in football is bad. It's football. It hurts. If you don't like it, don't play. Don't watch.
Oh, okay.
Roberts, listening from the Motor City, watching and more importantly, participating in Weekend Warrior Sports. Hashtag, I just woke her up.
You better take your raincoat.
Man, I just woke her up. That's a great throwback drop. I just woke her up. Maestro Mike tweets, I'm slinging packages in Michigan, cringing every time people tell me happy holidays, knowing that I'll see them again before Christmas. Chill, buddy. Save it for week 4 of December. Hashtag delivery guy nation. Hashtag beam me up. Joe in Elmira. Beam me up, DA. Still working, hawking that cable product. I'm listening every day. Appreciate the show. Hanging out with my two sons all weekend. Very nice. Jason tweets, he's in Orlando. Radio.com app. It appears Orlando's going to get our 2 days of winter this weekend. The plan is to stay warm and put a dent into the necessary Christmas shopping. Hashtag, I don't even have a job, Damien.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Snow in Texas yesterday? was so weird to see. California's on fire. Texas, it's snowing. I don't know what's going on. Tyler tweets, DA, I was in a robbery stealing situation in the electronics store, and it started with some dude in a hat looked at me suspicious and weird. So when I went to the next aisle, he started to grab whatever it was, and then he just took off. No one saw how it happened until the guy left the store and the security lock went off.
You are a machine of death. Well,
that's a hell of a way to start your Friday. On Facebook, hit us up. Facebook.com/TheDAShow. Jake, what up, DA? Can I get a beam up? Out here in Tulsa. Finally got my wife to listen to the show. Can you help me out and play a few drops that I'm always quoting at the house? Awesome show. Hashtag puffiness with sodium.
Puffiness with sodium.
Hashtag a little wet, little drippy.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Hashtag I didn't even have a job.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Now, hopefully the wife enjoyed all of that, and we got her hooked as well.
Babe Ruth was fat.
Louise. Is that a new drop? Louise, tune in app in Toronto. Getting ready for the trifecta, as they say, soccer, a treble. MLS Cup final in Toronto, TFC redeeming themselves, Chinese buffet on football Sunday, and Thor. Now that is a big day. Can I get a beam up? Big MLS Cup, Seattle and Toronto. This should be a lot of fun. Champion one game playoff this weekend in MLS. Mike tweets, listening on the CBS Sports Radio app, making a delivery in snowy northern Michigan. Hashtag, it's about the money, D.A.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y, D.A.
Chris on Facebook, the CBS Sports app from Colorado, getting ready for the Army-Navy game this weekend. Beat Navy! I'm an Army guy myself, but I always love Army-Navy. I'll be locked in as well tomorrow. Tim, the CBS Sports app, ready for my son's Rush Henrietta Renegades travel baseball or basketball games tomorrow.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Travis, Albuquerque, red or green, DA, rock on, go Bolts, reminder. Hashtag 22 till none or 22 till none, Godspeed. Travis, I'm a green salsa guy, but I'll go with any of them because I love my New Mexico Tex-Mex salsa, Mexican, Latin food. Everything you guys got going on, new Mexican food. Oh, boy.
Puffiness with sodium.
I'm all in. And on that point, you should check out my most recent Nomad episode, my trip to San Antonio to eat the craziest dessert I've ever eaten. It was the size of, like, the MLS Cup trophy. And it was all shaved ice and fruitiness and candy and syrup, and it was just outrageous. Plus breakfast tacos. Go to Nomad on YouTube, search for it, just search my name and Nomad, and you'll see the most recent episode of me in San Antonio. Also, it's on Facebook and on Twitter. All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And I realize that while Mraz wants sweatpants at work, and he doesn't know general historical knowledge, the problem is not Mraz. I can't blame him anymore. I've got to blame myself.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Mraz wants sweatpants. He wants wearing Zubaz and pajama bottoms here at CBS Radio. CBS, the Tiffany Network. CBS, which has one of the greatest, most elegant, sterling brands in terms of media for 100 years. And Mraz would opt to come to work every day dressed as a bum. What did that tell you? Well, it tells you two things. It tells you that Mraz does not take integrity of work very seriously.
No, I refuse. I'm not getting out there and, you know, playing shrimp cocktail.
That inherently he is, unfortunately, and I love him to death, he is a lazy slob. And it also suggests that Mraz is of a generation that has been taught here in America it's okay to be fat, dumb, and stupid.
The Orange Bowl rolled around. I basically had to lay on the floor. I couldn't breathe.
The Orange Bowl, the closest he came to fruit the entire weekend. By the
way. Mraz taught us yesterday that he didn't know when cars were invented. I can't criticize him too much. He has been brought up in a generation where he is very ill-educated, clearly. Extraordinarily ill-educated.
Oh. All right. Egyptian.
And that also has been taught that it's okay to be lazy and sloppy.
I was going to say Rioanese, but I know that that's just the city.
Rioanese. It's okay because look at Mraz. He has fallen backwards into a great job in life. I mean, he's even hosting radio shows now. So I can't This is how we've conditioned our youth. This is how we've conditioned this generation. You see fat, lazy, and stupid on TV all the time. Mraz has a good-paying job at a Tiffany network.
They're selling the devil's antidote.
They actually allow him on the air, and he doesn't know basic U.S. American history. How can I blame him? We have failed as a system for Mraz. He's stupid. He doesn't know. He's sloppy. He doesn't know better. He wants his lawyers and doctors to wear sweatpants. We have failed, Mraz.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I can only imagine Mraz in the middle of the Japanese education system. I mean, how many times would he fail? How many times would he be left back?
I don't speak Japanese. It'd be impossible.
I'm saying if you were raised in Japan, do you know what their expectations are from an education standpoint?
I don't know.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you would fail every grade 5 times. Thanks, everybody, on a Target Demo Friday as well for weighing in. Eric tweeting in, DA listening on KNTR Sporting Kingman in my work truck with it cranked this weekend, going to a Christmas party, then watching the Sixers game and Cowboys game. Hashtag, can I get a Bebo? Yeah, man. Thanks to everybody that sent in their Target demos today. Loved reading them all. Loved to appreciate you guys sharing with us because I appreciate what you guys do for us. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. And my man Chris Venezia on the simulcast at watchda.com. The DA Show, the mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.